Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Well, we're not going to go through Daniel this morning. We're going to go through Jonah. Well, at least the second chapter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. And title of the message is Thanksgiving in the Belly of a Well. Interesting, isn't it? One of my fonder memories as a child was we were in Alantia, and you probably don't know where that is, but it's in the Owens Valley in California. And my dad lived there during World War II. Probably ages, I'm going to guess, 9 through 11. And then the reason why they were up there is my grandfather was actually teaching pilots to fly. And while he was up there, he showed us his one-room schoolhouse that he attended, which was funny for us. And he was telling us stories and stuff. And he was telling us how the teacher didn't like him, which, again, this was all opening eyes to us about our father. So it was really cool to us. But we were kind of egging him on, like, okay, so how would you get in trouble? He goes, well, I remember one time we were going through the book of Moby Dick. And remember, it was all of us in this classroom. So you had, you know, kids that were in high school. And, you know, I was still in grade school, but we were going through Moby Dick. So she would call on me and ask me, of course, like she liked to put me on the spot to see if I read it or anything. So she would say, Kenneth, what did you take from this book, Moby Dick? He goes, well, I said, I think there's something fishy about this story. And she said, Kenneth! And he got in trouble for that. So we loved hearing that, my dad getting in trouble. Well, if you will, there's something fishy about this story. And if you would, pray with me. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for so much, Lord, as we celebrate a day of thankfulness towards so many benefits and wonders and blessings that we have in you through Christ. We just pray, Lord, help us to carry that through. Help us to see through Jonah's eyes, too, just what it means to be blessed and to be thankful always, Lord. So, Father, we just lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's always a controversy whether Jonah was really a real person or not. Is this story true? Well, two things to remember is it's mentioned, actually Jonah is mentioned in Kings, if you will, during Jeroboam's life as a prophet. So he was a real person. But really what makes it authentic more than anything else is listen to Jesus. He said, "And even adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." To me, that just puts a period on Jonah was a real person. This is a real story. We'll talk another reason why I believe that this is a true story. But understand again that this was during Jeroboam's reign in the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was so, they were in idolatry, they were so far from the Lord. And Jeroboam was one of their mightier kings, but again leading them astray. Now what's interesting was Jonah was the one that was the prophet in the northern kingdom, and he was sent to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were, throughout history, an extremely violent people. So the Lord commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. So what did Jonah do? He went down to Joppa and he took the next ship going to Tarshish, which was the extreme western boundary to them. He was going in the opposite direction. Ain't happening. So it says that Jonah went down into the ship and the Lord sent a storm. Now, as the storm started getting kicking into high gear, Jonah went deeper into to the ship, down into the ship, and he fell asleep. Now remember, they're full of idolatry, so their captain tells them all, hey, start praying to your gods. Maybe he'll show mercy to us. The captain finds out Jonah's asleep in the ship. He says, what are you doing, you sleeper? Get up, call out to your God, maybe we'll find mercy. So then the captain has a great idea. Somebody has done something wrong to upset the gods. So let's cast lots. So they cast lots to see who's the guilty one. And the lot falls on Jonah. So they're all, okay, what's your story? What are you doing? He says, well, I'm a Hebrew and I'm fleeing from the face of the God who made the earth and the sea. Now this terrifies them. What did you do? Why would you do this? What are we to do? How can we amend this? And Jonah says, cast me into the sea and the water will grow calm. Now think about that with me. If Jonah would have had a change of heart and said, you know what, just turn the ship around, I'm disobeying God, I have to go back, the water would have become calm. But see, Jonah's like, nope, not doing it, cast me in the sea. Now, the people on the ship are like, well, we're not going to cast you in the sea because that's going to upset your God. We're not going to do that. So they turn the ship around. They start rowing home, back to land. To nothing. The storm gets worse. So finally they come to the realization, we got to cast the guy out to the sea. And so they say, to your Lord, please forgive us for doing this. And they cast him down into the sea. The water becomes. Interesting, huh? And if you will, look at verse 17. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Who prepared the fish? God. What was this fish? I have no idea. Could have been a whale. It could have been a fish that God made specifically for this moment. Why do I have not a problem with this? Gosh, please, let's get over this. If God could create the heavens and the earth, what's so hard? And all the animals on this earth, what's so hard for Him to create a fish to swallow Jonah? Please. If you can't believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, if you can't get past that, then you know what? You don't know my God. God did that. And remember what Jesus, when Peter came to him and said, hey, they're asking us, do we pay the temple tax or not? Jesus says, go take a line, go throw it in there, catch the fish you catch, there'll be a coin in its belly. I mean, come on! If God can do all these things, why is it so hard to believe that He prepared a fish to swallow? I don't even have to go into the history of actually men being swallowed by fish and whales. I'm not going to go there and survive. A big deal! Of course! Who cares? Why? Because God prepared the fish! Now let's get past that. Now, look at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your bellows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Do not miss that. He is in the heart of thanksgiving in the belly of the fish or the whale. In the midst of his trouble is where he is thanking God. Why? What can we learn from this? See, some of you feel like you are in the belly of a whale. Some of you feel like, you know, I don't have a lot to be thankful for right now. Or some of us, we just don't look around and thank God enough for all the blessings He's bestowed upon us. We designate one day, and again, we can go back to the history of this country, but the point is, it's not one day. For every day, we are to be thankful to the God, to the Lord that has given us so much. And it's important for us to understand that even when we feel like we're in the midst of the belly of turmoil, we can still thank God just as Jonah did. But let's look at it. How did he thank God? And why did he thank God? Well, if you notice, again, I'm going to go with, because there's no way of translating this, but still, as it's laid out here, it says that he was in the belly 3 days and three nights. The Lord was letting him stew, if you will, in there. Now, if it was a well, it was 98.6 degrees in there. It's pretty warm. It's a sauna. But it took 3 days and three nights for him to start thinking, stewing, calming down, and then reflecting. Look at verse 2. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and You heard my voice. Sheol is basically the word for hell or grave. From the midst of the grave, I cried out to You. He remembers he was being thrown into the sea, into a sure death, crying out to the Lord, You heard my voice. You heard me in the midst of my grave, in the midst of my death. God hears me. See, I'm just reflecting, you know, I'm sitting here and just reflecting on what's been going on. I know something. God hears me. God hears us. Whatever our trouble is, whatever our pleasures are going through at the moment that the Lord has given us things to rejoice over, even there God hears us. He always hears us. Look at verse 3. For You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All Your bellows and Your waves passed over me. But wait a minute, wasn't it the mariners that threw him overboard? No, see, again, Jonah reflects and he realizes this is something that it was You that cast me. I see Your hands involved in this. How? Again, 3 days, three nights, what? He sees a storm. He knows what the storm's about. The storm's about him. He's rebelling against God. He's sinning against God. God causes the storm. But if that wasn't to finally get his attention, they cast lots. The lot falls on Jonah. Jonah's saying, I can't hide even from that. But then the big one. Throw me into the sea and the sea will grow calm. Throws him in there and the sea becomes calm. But as he's sinking down, as death is sure, he gets swallowed by this fish. Now the first probably reaction he had was, I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm fish food. One day, one night. I'm hungry. What happens? I bet you there's a fish sitting there. He has sushi. I'm tired. He goes to sleep. But if I go to sleep, I won't wake up. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. Day one. Day two. Day three. And then he realizes something. I can't die unless He wants me to die. He's the one that started the storm, that cast the lot on me, that had them throw him over, had the fish swallow me. I'm in God's hands. Even when I'm in rebellion, even when I'm not thanking Him, even when I don't look to Him, He's still working. Can you accept that? Regardless of where you are right now, this day, He's working in your life. Thank You, Lord. That's what I say all the time. Thank You, Lord. Don't ever stop working. Thank You, Lord. Because I know I ain't done. But He knows that God is at work, always at work. Look at verse 4. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Now, at first reading, you're thinking, well, then I am separated from your presence. Because, see, again, that's the big thing. That's the underlining thing, is I'm running from your presence. I'm away from your presence. Because he is running from his presence, they throw him into the sea. I'm away from you. I'm cast away from you. But he says this, I look to your holy temple. That goes back to something that Solomon says. Listen. Solomon says whatever prayer after he built the temple, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hand towards this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose hearts you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. See, what Jonah is saying here is, I'm reflecting and I understand something. The reason I'm in the situation I'm in right now is because of my sin, my rebellion have separated me from my God. I will look towards your holy temple. I am going down in the depths of the sea. What do you do when you're down in the depths? There's only one way to look, and that's what he did. He looked up. I looked up. But I look towards your temple, which tells us these two things. He's remembering the promises of God. That sink in. It's not about me. Not about my failure. That's not about my strength. It's all about Him. His promises. His promises to forgive, to act, to give. It's the grace of God. Now I'm going to read three passages to you. One's Romans 15:8, one's 2 Corinthians 1:20, the other is 2 Peter 1:4. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm going to read them right in succession. Listen. Now, I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is the work of God that is continuing in our lives because of work that has already been done. That one has spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth, the belly of the grave, the belly of Sheol, the belly of all hopelessness, to rise again to give us all hope. Where do you find yourself right now? This day? Stuck somewhere? Miserable? Hurting? Sad? Lonely? Empty? Look up. To His promises. He's at work. He's doing a marvelous thing. And He's not going to complete it until it's finished. Until it's done, He's not going to stop. Isn't that wonderful? There's so much to be thankful for, isn't there? Look at verse 5. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Can you picture that? Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Him falling down deeper into the ocean. That could be. Or he could be in the belly of the fish. And what's wrapped around him? Seaweed. I like that picture better, actually. You picture him in that belly, seaweed on him. Going down with the fish as it goes down. He could feel it going down. He could feel it going up. I went down to the moorings. Basically, that's anchors of the mountains in the sea. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Now, remember, he's going down, but it wasn't the first time, folks. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down to the lowest part of the ship. He was down thrown into the sea. He was down in the deepest part of the sea. Yet, you have brought my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. You saved me by this fish, this circumstance. You saved me. What circumstances do you find yourself in? Oh man, some of them you're just going, oh, I just want this to end. I want it to stop. I want it to change. And yet it's this very thing that God can be doing His wonderful work. We'll talk about what that work is here in a second. Where do you find yourself at right now? God's at work. Do you believe it? Jonah did. There's two things again to take from this. He can't flee from the presence of God. But see, if he would have read the Psalms 200 to 300 years before this, he would have already known this. This is what David said. He said, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, Sheol, you are there. Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. We can't leave the presence of God's Spirit. And the other thing is, notice it takes up from the pit. God desires to save and to bring us back into His presence. That's what it's about. God's desire is always to bring us closer into His presence. That's the circumstances. That's the reason. And the only thing that can separate us from seeing and knowing and understand that is sin and rebellion. He doesn't leave. Again, I read from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. That rock being Christ. And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praises to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So it's not only about Him bringing me into His presence, He also declares through us love to others. Are you weary through you? Calls to the world, look at my child, I won't leave him nor forsake him. Look at my child. Whatever it is, your heart is deep and emptiness and loneliness and sin and pain and heartache and ache and failure, success, I'm there. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. My soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up and I remembered the Lord. Why? Because just as we just stated, just remembering God's commitment to me. Let me say that again. Remembering God's commitment to me. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But now thus says the Lord who created you in Isaiah 43:1, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, put your name there. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Patrice, and he who formed you, O Caleb, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Think about that with me for a second, would you? The depths of our soul and everything that we see in the physical realm, everything that tells us and declares to us, whatever we are, defines us, at least they try, and see what God is saying. Wait a minute. You're mine. Now think with me. That is the creator of all things. God saying to you and to me, you are mine. Don't worry about, remember when your parents, oh, the old saying, remember? So-and-so gets to do this, so-and-so gets to do that. I don't care what they're doing. They're not mine. You are mine. What the parent was trying to say was, you are mine, and you're not going to do that kind of stuff. Whereas God is saying, you are mine, so would you stop worrying about this stuff? Don't worry about what others say. You're mine. I've put the stamp of approval on you, and it's with blood. You're mine. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I think we have more than a few things here to be thankful for. Joshua was told, have I not commanded you, the Lord said, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that marvelous? You can't hide from His presence. The only way you can separate is if you shut the door. But it doesn't mean He doesn't come a knocking, because He does constantly. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, it's God that desires for us to enjoy His presence. It's God who desires for us to have fellowship with Him. Now we understand, don't we? Look at verse 8. Jonah says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Idols are anything that takes away our affection, our devotion, our obedience that belongs to God. But it robs us of the blessing of God, His mercy. That word can be translated also loving kindness. Goodness. It separates us. When we trust anything except God, it separates us from that. We moved. Not Him. He won't move. But to enjoy it is to understand it. And to understand it, then we find in verse 9, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I'm thankful for you, Lord. I'm thankful that you're at work even when I disobey. I'm thankful that you're at work even when I'm confused. I'm thankful that you're at work even when I feel lonely and empty and separated from you. I'm thankful that you're at work because of your mercies every day. I'm thankful of your presence because of your love for me that you showed by sending your Son to go into the belly of this earth, taking my sin. Now I am called by your name. See, what we do is too much is we just look down and we look around and we look at us. And we have to take what Jonah did and look up. For His love for us is everlasting. So it's not just, again, a voice of thanksgiving. It's an action. I will pay what I have vowed. What does that mean? Let's just simplify it. I'll obey you. Jonah was saying, I'll go back. We're going to see God's, He's still got to do some work in Jonah's heart. But Jonah finally comes to the realization, I thank you and salvation is of the Lord. Who am I to say who you save? Who am I? You saved me. I don't deserve it. Look at verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. It still can be messy. Even in repentance, it can still be messy. Even our lives, it can still be messy. But God always brings us back to where we need to be. Everything in life is a schoolroom and He's teaching. Follow me. Let's go. Not going to be easy. Follow me. Take up your cross. Stop thinking about yourself. Look to me. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. They stay in my presence. Is your labor heavy? Then put it upon me. I'm meek and lowly. You'll find rest. But keep going. Keep trusting. Keep looking up. Keep knowing. Keep being thankful. Rejoice always. In everything give thanks. God's at work. And you know this, that I'm at work. From always making what you do right and good. Ultimately, He'll be finished. It's always about a decision and a choice on your part. For I am a gentleman. I force my will on no one. It's your choice. It's your will. But what I desire is to reveal my presence even so much more to you. We got a lot to be thankful for. We all do. No matter where you are, I mean, let's get over this. I mean, we in the church always try to make it sound like, you know, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then He's going to bless me. No, that's not it. See, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then that, what that means is that you should be in His presence. And if you're in His presence, then you hear His voice. And if you hear His voice, then He might call you to go scrub somebody's toilet. Wash somebody's feet. But see, that's not the end result. The end result is that you are in obedience in His presence, and then the joy is He is always there. Always at work. Loving us with a love that's everlasting. It never changes. No shadow, no turning. It's not up to you about how much He loves. It's up to you how much you receive it and accept. And a lot of that comes down just being thankful. Thank you. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning. We ask, first of all, for Your forgiveness. As we contemplated on this, as we did, as Jonah did, we remember, Lord. A lot of us have things that we are upset about. There's things that, Lord, we still have seen no change. It seems like we pray and nothing happens. In fact, it seems like there's storms and more storms, and it seems like there's everything's pointed at us and nothing goes right. But this morning, as we looked at Jonah, we discovered something. Even in these things, You're at work, not to push us away from You, but to draw us closer and more intimate into Your presence, into a relationship, Lord, that will be with us for eternity. We have so much to be thankful for with the work that You continue to do. And Lord, this morning, we want to repent from anything that's taken our eyes off of You. Whether it be ourselves, whether it be our circumstances, whether it be that pet sin that we hold on to. Lord, we lay it all before You and ask for Your forgiveness. We repent of these things. Let there be no idols in our lives. Let there just be thankfulness in our hearts. And an acknowledgement that we are Yours. And it's in His name that did it all for us, that we pray. Amen.